You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In the DC Comics world, Superman has Metropolis, Batman has Gotham, and Cyborg now has Detroit. Here to talk with us about that is John Semper Jr. I was looking at your bio. Your writing and directing credits span decades of TV and animation from Woody Woodpecker to Scooby-Doo and the animated series Spider-Man. How did you end up writing a comic book about Cyborg?
Well, it's a very simple answer. DC called me up and said, would you like to write a comic book about Cyborg? Fortunately, when you've been at this business for as long as I have, you gain a little bit of a reputation. And I had known Dan DiDio, who's the co-head of DC Comics. I'd known him for about 16 years. And they gave me a call and said, would you like to do this? We're essentially rebirthing the character. And we think that you would be the person to do it. So here I am.
So those of us who aren't initiated into the League of Justice or DC Comics superheroes, tell us a little bit about the Cyborg character.
Well, he's an interesting character. You know, DC rebooted their whole universe about 5 years ago. So there's a New 52. There's a pre-New 52 version of Cyborg and a post-New 52 version. And I'm currently dealing with a post version. He is a character who, because of a trauma that occurred in his life, is now part cybernetic and part human. I'm telling you the very simplest version of this that I can.
I understand. I was reading about it.
And because he has actually kind of a complicated origin, which they teased a little bit in the Batman versus Superman movie. But he is basically a character who's part cybernetic and part human. And he's not quite sure how much of which, you know, half of that is really him. So he's on a personal level, he's a character who's questioning whether or not he's still human and still has a soul. And on a superhero level, he's a guy who's got amazing powers because of his cybernetic abilities. And he's got amazing weaponry and technology, and he's plugged in, you know, to everything electronic and digital that's going on around him. So he's a pretty fascinating, complicated character.
In this 2011 character reboot that you talked about, he's become a more significant character. What kind of opportunities does that offer you as a writer?
Jeff Johns, when he recreated the Justice League for the New 52, he made Cyborg one of their founding members, and it really elevated him in the pop cultural landscape. So from my perspective, what's exciting is that I'm now handling a very, very significant character in the DC universe. There's talk that, he's going to be in the new Justice League movie, which will be coming out at the end of the year. And there's talk that he might even be having his own movie a year after that. So it's exciting as a creator, because people are going to be paying attention to this character. This character is going to be getting a lot of exposure. And, you know, every creator wants their creations to be seen and heard. So I'm getting a wonderful platform upon which to tell stories.
In the world of superheroes, both at DC Comics and Marvel, there's been an attempt to be more diverse, but it's still mostly white and mostly male. What's the conversation among writers and artists about diversity? And we should note that Cyborg is an African-American.
That is correct. He is a black superhero. And unlike a number of the superheroes they're taking a lot of characters who were formerly white and turning them into black superheroes, Cyborg began as a black superhero. So he's really unique in that respect. What's the dialogue that's going on among creators? I think that the comic book companies definitely recognize that there's a need for more diverse voices. I am an African-American writer. I was the first African-American animation showrunner. Years ago, I was tapped by Jim Henson to run his animated Fraggle Rock show. So I've been kind of dealing with the forefront of diversity for a very long time. When I did what some consider my signature series, which was Spider-Man the Animated Series back in the early 90s. I put so many prominent black characters into that series that we got nominated for an NAACP Image Award. So you know, for me handling this character, it's really a wonderful opportunity to tell stories of people of color and to explore the mind of a man of color who is given tremendous ability and tremendous opportunity to do good things. So I think that the timing is right for this character to be happening right now, and I feel very fortunate to be writing him.
As we mentioned, the backdrop is going to be Detroit. How will the experiences as a black man in Detroit be different than, say, a white Superman in Metropolis?
One of the interesting things that just sort of happened with this character is that he was given to me as a black man living in Detroit. And I don't think that's ever really been explored. You know, I'm not quite sure exactly how it happened that that was the location that was chosen for him. I do know that Jeff Johns is from Detroit, so I think that had a little bit to do with it. But I looked at Cyborg when I started writing him, and I realized that there were a lot of things that were missing. And one of the things that was missing was an association with a location. Superman does have Metropolis, and Batman does have Gotham City. Cyborg really had nothing. He had Star Labs, which was just a building, and that was really his home base. And I thought, well, that's very strange, because you've got a black character in a major metropolitan city that is that has a huge black population. And it would make sense that that should be a bigger factor in his life. Since he grew up in Detroit, it certainly, the city helped to shape who he is and what his whole approach to his life should be. So let's explore that more.
There are lots of myths and assumptions that people who don't know Detroit make. Have you done some field research in the city?
I have not yet been to Detroit, although I am planning on coming to Detroit. I got this job so quickly that there really wasn't any time to do that. What I've done is I've done a lot of research. And, you know, there's this wonderful thing called Google Maps where you can kind of plunk yourself down in environments. I love finding real environments for a lot of my action to take place. So if I'm having, let's say, a thief escape from the window of a building where he has just stolen some technology and he's going into a back alley, I will then go into Google Maps and I will find that alley and I will find that building and I will give that link to my artist. And so we're really, I'm trying to make the city come to life. I have another character named Blue, who's a jazz musician whom I created for the series. And he has a specific place where he lives. And at one point, he and Cyborg are on a bus and they're traveling down an avenue and they're headed to his disability center. And I locate all of these things because I think it's very important to get a feeling for the city, especially visually. I want the artist to be able to represent the city the way that it really looks. And then I have a lot of friends from Detroit. And so I will talk to them and say, well, where would this take place? And where would that take place? And I'm connecting the character with the city. The city and the character are going to become interchangeable. And the character is very much going to become a defender of Detroit. So Detroit is very much the star of the comic book right now.
Well, I can tell you there are a couple of people at this radio station who are very geeked out and very excited about the backdrop of Cyborg being Detroit. So good luck with your adventure there. I wanted to ask you one more question. You know, I can't get past this writing for a comic book for the first time. How does this differ from the other projects you've worked on?
Well, in some ways, it's the same because it's all storytelling. And as I write this comic book, I am thinking in terms of a movie, strangely enough. And I did this when I did Spider-Man, the animated series. I always think, well, let's just pretend that it's a movie. So let's tell a movie story. Structurally, it's very different. You know, when you're sitting and writing a script, you can describe action. When you are writing a comic book, you have to freeze a moment in time and say, this is what's going on at this frozen moment in time as you go panel by panel. And it's a little bit of a working out of a puzzle because there are only so many panels you can have on a page and only so many pages. And you have to have splash pages on, you know, certain number pages, and you have to open it a certain way. So structurally, it's a little more complicated. But, you know, then there are benefits. For instance, I don't have to worry about page length. My scripts can be as long as I need for them to be, as, you know, as long as I describe the action and give the dialogue. So it's really kind of nice to not have to worry about how many pages something is running.
I also assume you have to be really concise, though, because you've only got so many pages and only a little area for the written word.
Absolutely. I will say this, that I am really packing in a lot of action in my comics. One of the things I hate is when I pick up a comic book and very little occurs, and it's all very moody, and there's no dialogue, and it's like a, you know, kind of a visual poem. That annoys me. I really go back to the days when you picked up a comic book and you got a full story and you got a lot of action and a lot of character interplay. So this is a comic book that you can pick up and I think really enjoy from cover to cover. And there's a lot going on and you definitely get your money's worth. So, yeah.
John Sepper Jr. is now writing for DC Comics, working on the Cyborg character. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Lester. This was fun. Thanks.